We're going to be talking about very different things over the different things, over the different weeks. We'll be talking about the foundation for the family and the family altar. And the purpose of this series is to actually give an entire perspective on the family. What does God have to say about the family? And one of the things you will learn from the Bible, especially in the New Testament, you realize one thing. There isn't much teaching on the family, specifically. Not much in the New Testament. Whatever you will have in terms of principle is gathered from the Old Testament. When you study the Bible, you find a picture of the family in the Old Testament is a miserable picture. The picture of the family in the Old Testament is one that is consisting of robbery, murder, rape, many wives, adultery. You think about that. Think about it. Abraham, he had problems with Sarah couldn't conceive, and so she was involved with Hagar. In our modern day context, we say, what a sin. In those days it was acceptable, but it wasn't acceptable with God. Okay? Moses had problem with his wife. Now, what did Zipporah call Moses? Thou art a bloody husband to me. He's not swearing. Okay? And about the only family that you would find that would be strong in the Old Testament was Joshua. But almost zero is spoken to us about his family. All he says, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Does it make sense? I was wondering, what happened to the wife and the children when Joshua was out fighting the war? If you look through the entire Old Testament, many of the kings had problems with their wife. David committed adultery and murdered another person's husband. So much for a hero of the faith, right? But thank God, God did restore him. If you look at the family in the Old Testament, you find that it's a dismal picture. But what I want to tell you is that God does have teaching in the Bible about the family, and hopefully these many weeks we will glean from the Solomon. Solomon gives advice specifically to the son about how he needs to behave, but not necessarily how to build a family. Some passages will refer directly to the family, and I will be talking about that. And one of the things in the New Testament you find, and it is something that I learned recently, and it really opened my eyes, that the family in the New Testament, listen carefully, the family in the New Testament, as far as the Lord Jesus Christ is concerned, was couched in the community of believers. I'll be touching on that over the weeks. I just want to drop that in because there's so many things that we need to really get our mind right about the Bible. And if as a church we get this right, we'll be strong. Okay? Now, there are children here, there are teenagers here, there are young adults here, there are married couples here. Can I say, even if you are 5 years old, alright, this is relevant for you because there are certain things you will have to do. But as you grow up, and so some people I'm sure will be married next time, and people going to be married soon, and people are already in married, and people hoping to be married, people hoping not to be married, I don't know, I hope not. We will all find it as a blessing and a help, okay? I want to be as practical as I can, and I'm praying that God will bless everyone. I want us to understand this from my heart. I want every family to be strong. I believe God wants every family to be strong. And you're strong in your family. As much as God has made the family unit, the foundational unit of society, you will find that in the Old Testament, the household doesn't refer to the family itself. It refers to everyone in the family, including the dogs and the cats. That's the household. Alright? So I just want to give you the beginning introduction. Alright? So welcome to Foundation from the Family. I'll just put one light out. Thank you. Okay. The purpose of the whole series is, I got just very, some purposes, to build families for the glory of God. For the glory of God. Sorry, how can I miss out God? For the glory. A bit rushed. Number two, to give assurance to the hearts of members of Ambassador that God still cares and wants to work in all of our families. Okay? The purpose is also to strengthen our families weakened by the influences and the things of this world. to offer hope for people from dysfunctional families by directing them to God's original intention and purpose for the family, and to prepare each family to serve God. Alright, this is the purpose of this, okay? The objectives that we're going to have is to provide a Bible framework for Ambassador Baptist Church members, families and visitors, with which to understand and to live within their families. God has a framework. And the reason why families break down is because people just don't want to follow God's framework. Number two, second objective is to correct worldly views, thoughts and opinions upon which how a family should be run. Number three, to give knowledge about the principles for living within and resolving difficulties within a family. And number four, to understand special difficulties arising from each family situation and how with the help of God to resolve them. Okay? We want God to be honored. But you know what? God wants to speak to us. Alright? So, what are we going to cover today? Let me go to the scope first. I think I missed up. Okay, so the scope of today, alright, we're going to touch on before we pray, is we touched on the purpose already. And then we're going to talk about the breakdown of families. I'll give you statistics. And then I'll go to the Bible. What is the origin of the family? And breakdown of families based on the first sin. And I'm sorry. This is my rushing at 7:40 to rush it. Okay, what is the foundation of the family? Okay, what is the foundation of the family? Because today's first topic is, what is the foundation of the family? Okay, and if one more somewhere, I suppose I have to drag this one open so I can see the last one. What do we have to do as families to make sure we strengthen that foundation? And that's the last part. All right, let's have a word of prayer and then we'll dive right in. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, what a wonderful description of who you are, our Father. A father is a head of a household. Lord, you are our Father, and in John chapter 1 verse 12, you tell us, as many as received him, to him gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You say in John chapter 3 verse 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Father, we thank you for showing us, Lord, that the household is such an important thing to you, that you use it to represent even your kingdom. That God, when we become Christians, we are adopted into the family of God. We become the sons of God with an inheritance, with a heavenly Father who cares for us, whom we can run to, Father, in times of need. God, I pray today you speak to us about what the foundation of the family is. And I pray for every believer now, whether married or not, that God, they will find principles that they will use in their lives. God, I pray for every Christian family that these principles will be understood by every member, from the youngest to the oldest, and it will be imbibed, it will be absorbed as a Bible principle for their families. For those who may be from non-Christian families, I ask that these principles will be so strong in them that the light of Jesus Christ will come out, and that other members of the family will begin to see the love of a Heavenly Father for them through this Christian. And God, for those who are struggling in their families, I pray by your grace you will lift them up out of the mud and the muck and the mire of this world, and you will set them on a higher plane, and that their families will be built for the glory of God. So Lord Jesus, we commend you this whole session into your hands. We know the Holy Spirit is the teacher, and I'm asking you, Lord, to do a powerful work in our lives. Change every family, Lord, who will come. We will thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, this is revived. The breakdown of family, some of the statistics that I want to give to you. This is taken from the Bristol Family Trust. Okay, this survey was done. It's a national survey of England. 40% of children experience family breakdown in England. This is part of a survey in England conducted. 40% of these children will experience family breakdowns. You know what's the sad thing? 20% of the 40% will experience family breakdown within the first 3 years of their life. First 3 years. Okay, the next one. Divorced. 1 in 7 couples divorce between the second and the sixth year of their life. one in three couples separate before their child's fifth birthday, four times the rate of married parents. Okay, now I talk about couples, you know, in England, I believe they also have what we call de facto relationships, whereby you can live together, but you don't have to get married. Okay, may I say that is sin against God? It is sin against God. Okay, this is just statistics. Next statistic, the Telegraph, okay, the Telegraph, January 2012. Telegraph is an England newspaper, okay. This is what was written on the newspaper. The percentage of households comprising the traditional nuclear family, a couple with children, fell from 52% to 36% over the same period. That means, what is the definition of a family? A family is usually a father, a mother, and children. That should be a family, right? Okay, of course you may have extended family like grandfather, grandparents, etc. But it said that in 1972, there were 52%. But by 2008, over the course of 30 years, they kept the statistics. That particular statistics have dropped to 36%. What does that mean? It means that there are many families in England now living with one parent. And the parent is not dead. Whoever, that means they're either separated, okay, divorced, or they were never married. Okay? One of the things, there were too many statistics to put there. One of the things that they found out was, you know, just now you saw 40% of children experience family breakdowns. These are in normal, regularly married families. I didn't include those who were children in families whose parents were not married. And they say, I think it's 7 times higher for those. I told you just now, of the 40% of children experience family breakdowns, 20% of them experience that when they are before 3 years old. But you know that statistic goes higher when the parents are not actually married, but they have children. This is the condition of our world, okay? The next one. The total number of divorces The total number of divorces rose from 4,800 in 1997 to 7,226 in 2007. Okay, there was in 10 years they collected statistic. How many percent rose? How many percentage increase? More than 50%. Alright, for divorces for both civil and Muslim marriages have increased. In civil marriages, alright, there were 3,676. In 1997, this increased by at least, 50% in 2007. That's about 4 or 5 years ago. For Muslim marriages, divorces in 1997 were 1,212, rising to 1,700, okay? In 2007, divorce rate is rising. In 2007, there were 8.3 female divorces every 1,000 married residents, up from 6.6 in 1997. Singapore? Hang on first. Age-specific divorce rate. Younger married persons in the age group of 20 to 24 years old registered the highest divorce rate in 2000. Our young people are in big trouble. You know why? Dating. You know why? Dating practices what? Divorce. Okay? We'll go into that a bit later when we talk about raising children, teenagers. You know why? This is a frightening number. At such a young age, I'm not a victim of that, but my god-sister was married. I attended a wedding. I told her husband-to-be, you better take care of my god-sister. Within 1 week, they were divorced. 1 week! And I couldn't get my hands on him. 1 week! I said, what happened? Well, the guy was just out for money. It's frightening. She's in that age range. The divorce rate in this age group reflected the highest increase over the past decade. What I just gave you, 3 slides, are MCYS, 2008, the latest statistics. This is not like 10 years ago. This is the latest collection of statistics. In 2007, slightly more than half of the divorce lasted 10 years. In other words, those people who lived less than 10 years got divorced. Okay? With about 1/3 of divorces occurring within 5 to 9 years of marriage, the proportion of divorces within 5 to 9 years of marriage had increased 34%. That's frightening. In other words, out of every 10 couples get married, 3.5% will end up in divorce. I don't know about you, I'm afraid for my children. I hope you are too as parents. Okay? The family systems in the world is breaking down. It's breaking down. This is from MCYS. And it's a very recent one because the statistic is up to 2007. That's only 5 years ago. And it was a 10-year study. It took time to collate the... And when I read that, it's frightening. Okay? What's happening? Can I say this? I was trying to find local statistics. One of the hardest things to find is about Christians. But you know, Christians are not exempted from that. Christians who should know better are living like the world. Today, God has one lesson, just one lesson, that I hope every father will learn. What is the foundation of the family? Okay, if I were to go through and ask you what is the foundation of the family, after this we'll have a little discussion. What I want to do is actually to share with you. What I want to say, can I say this? For those who may have experienced things like this, remember, God is still love. God is still the Heavenly Father who cares. I want to be sensitive because there are people whom perhaps we know may have gone through that pain. And I'm hoping that through tonight you will learn what does God have to say. And God, by your grace, I will have this in my life. And if you're a teenager or a young person, God help me not to be in the statistics. God, that I will not allow myself to be so blind to myself that I ignore what you tell me. Okay, so that's why even for the younger children, I'm trying to make it as easy for you to understand so that you can grow up with the fact that God loves you and God wants you to have a future. Okay, today the main goal is what is the foundation of the family. Okay, let's go back to Genesis chapter 2. Okay, Genesis chapter 2, where it all starts. Genesis chapter 2. And I want to glean, alright? I'll call it what some people call distilled theology, meaning I'm going to look at the Bible, I'm going to think biblically, I'm going to draw out what God wants us to understand. Okay, Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 to 25, let's look at the origin of the family. Genesis 2, verse 18, I'll be going through a lot of times. A certain couple in our church will listen to this again and again, but it's important. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 to 25. We just go through, and the Lord said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to a fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took up one of the ribs and closed up the flesh thereof, instead thereof. The rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, it is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. And therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall cleave unto his wife, they shall be one flesh, and they were both naked. Man is one, not ashamed. I think we've gone through that. I just want to give a few thoughts from there. Adam was created by God from the dust. Yes? Eve was created by God from his ribs. Interesting. Maybe that's why the ladies look better than men. The men don't look as nice. Because we're taken from the dust. And then when God made men, he took whatever that is nice and gave it to the woman. I don't know. But the point is, Eve was not made from the dust. You know what's significant? Men, when they get married to the woman, God said, I took them from the man. There's already unity from the beginning. Okay? There are other things, like for example, God didn't take from the toes, so that men would step over the woman. Didn't take from the head, so that the Eve will be above Adam, but took from the ribs, so that they are equal. This is a very important point. Because when God created man and woman, He created them equals. Not in function and physique, but as equals in the sight of God. Does that make sense? Okay. Ladies, God brought Eve to Adam. Other guys will say, "Wow, then I don't have to worry. I just stand there, they all come." That's not the idea. Okay. But it's interesting that God brought Eve to Adam. We don't go and play hide and seek. He said, "I'll be left on the shelf. You don't have to worry." God brought Eve to Adam. Now, that's an interesting thing. Let's look at Genesis 2, just for the sake of the teenagers. The Bible says in verse 18, "The Lord God said, 'It is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for God.'" So what was God's mind frame? I need to find a wife for Adam. Okay? What did God do? God actually told Adam, okay, this is how God think. "I need to get a wife for Adam. Adam, go and find a wife." Did he say that? He said no. "Adam, go and name all the animals." What do you think God did that? Adam, God wanted to find a wife for Adam, but God said, "Adam, go and name the animals." Why? Why? There are many lessons you can learn from that. Number one, you want to find your mate, you'll be involved in serving God. You learn to put God's word and His service first. And in God's timing, He will bring the right one to you. Amen? And Adam was involved. And perhaps through that, God created a need in Adam. And Eve was supposed to be a helper suitable for... Interesting, the Bible says, "I will make a helpmeet." For what? For naming the animals? No, Adam was supposed to do the work of God, right? God says, "I'm going to find someone who will help Adam in the thing he has to do in his life." Alright, that was the original plan. Who married Adam and Eve? God married Adam and Eve. God married Adam and Eve. You know, in this world we rush to, "I'll be left on the shelf if I don't hurry up." No, you learn to trust God. God was the one who married Adam to Eve and Eve. When God created Adam and Eve, He had this thought. Before that, okay, let's look at Genesis towards the end. Look at verse number... If you look from Genesis chapter 18 to verse 23, you will find that there is the marriage. God instituted marriage for the family. Okay, God instituted marriage, He instituted marriage. But then look at verse 24 and 25. God said an interesting thing. "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother." I was reading, Lord, where is Adam's father and mother? Where is Adam's father and mother? Adam has no mother. He was created from the dust. You know, so I was laughing. You know what God was doing? God was laying down a pattern. He's laying down a pattern for future generations. Does that make sense? Okay? And so, here, from verse 18 to 23, God instituted marriage, and from verse 24 to 25, God instituted the family. Okay? And in the family, I won't go into a lot of this because I'll take time out from other sessions to deal with this, but I just want to give you the background. So, God instituted the family. So, based on this passage, okay, who put the first family together? It was God. God made Adam. God made Eve, God brought Eve to Adam, and God married Adam and Eve. When God, after God has done all that, God created Adam and Eve, married them, He had this thought. Okay, what was His thought? "What therefore God had joined together, let not man put asunder." God meant it with all His being. And the entire human race, having experienced God's judgment, because they broke that. Okay, so this was God's original intention. One man, one woman for the rest of your life. Okay? Dating is a very scary thing because God wants us to learn to wait on Him. Because in the trend of teenagers today, one of the scariest things, I was reading another research, I don't have time to put it all, but one of the scariest research I've heard is this. One of the biggest problems that Europe has now, you know what that is? Teenage pregnancies. They don't know how to cope with that. It's increasing. Okay, the youngest that has ever given birth, I think, was 9 years old or 7 years old. I don't know. It's just scary. Okay? But God's plan for the original intention was for families to be together. Okay? So God says, what therefore God has put together, let no man put asunder. Okay? Now, think about that. So God was the one who put all that together. So, was the first family perfect? First family was perfect, right? Who was there with Adam and Eve? God was there, right? Was there mutual love? Was there unselfish love? They cared for one another. There was no shame. There was no blaming. There was no nothing. Everything was perfect. The next one we're going to go to is the breakdown of the family. Let's look at Genesis chapter 3. And I want every father and mother to take good note of the things that led to the breakdown of the first family. And unfortunately, the things you will find, it is still happening in 2012. Okay, as I read that, it's like an eye-opener. In Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And the serpent, I think you all know, it represents the devil himself. Satan came and said unto woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Notice the family was okay until an outside influence came in. Point number one. Outside influence. The family was perfect until Satan brought in an outside influence. There can be many things, there can be outside influences, but please, as you go, I'll just go through it, I'll actually talk about that. And then in verse 2, you find that, and the woman said unto her, well, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which in the midst of the garden God had said, thou shalt not eat, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. The serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in that day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. The number two thing for the breakdown of families is a corruption of the mind by casting doubt, challenging what is good and what is right. You know how does that come in? Every day through your television. Every day through your Facebook. Every day. Is it a wonder why my children do not go on Facebook without my permission? In fact, they don't have even a Facebook account. You know why? The trash that comes out, even though you may not intend that to be there. Right, Johnny, are you saying Facebook is wrong? I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is an outside influence. Adam and Eve would have been fine if the devil just left them alone. But he came in with an intention. What was the intention? To corrupt the mind by casting doubt. Casting doubt on what? Casting doubt on what? What did the devil ask Eve? Yea, hath God said? Yea, hath God said that movies will teach you wrong philosophies? Yea, hath God said that the rock music you listen to is going to hurt you spiritually? Yea, hath God said, the pastor said you shouldn't be doing this? Yea, hath God said? Yea, hath God said that you shouldn't be reading your Bibles as much? Yea, hath God said? The casting of doubt comes in, and you know what? Every day it comes in to the point that we are numb. Yea, God said American Idol is right or wrong? Oh, come on, a little bit of music, that's fine. That was exactly what Satan told Eve. Exactly what Satan told Eve. You will not surely die. Aya. Notice what he go on to say in verse 5. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. When you listen to the songs from American Idol, you know, you begin to appreciate music better. for the first time in Singapore, the censorship board has allowed a calendar with pornography on it to be given, to be approved. Did you read the newspaper article? Oh, how many of you read the article? You need to read more of the newspaper. But parents, please censor some of the part. You need to cut out some of the... For the first time, I believe, in the history of Singapore, they are allowing nude calendar photograph with body parts fully exposed. And husbands, you better be keeping your eyes where it should be. All of us need to be in control. A bit of... You know what the censorship board? So that it's in good taste. Good taste! Parents, if you allow your children to be exposed to rock music from a young age, don't be surprised when they rebel at 13, 14, 15, 16 years old. Because the devil, it's okay, they need to express themselves. The devil allowed, or the devil brought in the outside influence and deceived that family. And then in verse 6, notice, and the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise. Guess what? She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave unto her husband. And she did it. What happened? There was outside influence, there was corruption of mind by casting doubt on the... What did Satan cast doubt on? What did Satan cast doubt on? God's Word. What do you come to church every Sunday, every Friday night, every Saturday to learn? And every Monday for FBI starting on Monday, okay? What do you come to church to learn? God's Word. On Sunday, Friday, Saturday, Monday, you learn God's Word, you read the Bible, and then when you go back and live your life, Satan just pushes it all away. You sure God said that? Fathers, I want you to take note of one thing very important in this passage. The Bible said in verse 6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and she did it, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did it. Now, where was Adam when Eve ate the fruit? What does the Bible say? With her. Some people say, no, Brother Johnny, you cannot say he was beside. Was with her. There was one book written a few years back. The book is called The Silence of Adam. The Bible says in Romans 5:12, for as by one man sin entered into the world. Fathers, listen to this. Adam made no effort to stop Eve. He made no effort to stop Eve. Children, I want you to listen carefully to me. What I'm going to tell the fathers is to help them. And it is your job to obey God according to Exodus 20. Sometimes in the life of the family, to protect the family, fathers have to put their foot down and say, no way are you going to have that in the family. I will not allow that. And if you rebel, mark this, you rebel against God. God made the father to make a stand. I can tell you many times I've had to go through that unpleasant thing, but dear friends, I'd rather hurt your feelings now than lose your soul in hell. Fathers, we need this backbone to say, even if my family hates me, I will do what is right, because otherwise next time they will experience the same thing that the statistics are talking about. Okay? I'm very serious about this, I'm sorry, but disobedience, why did Eve eat of the fruit? It was disobedience. It was disobedience. And Adam was there. And fathers, if you can sit beside your children to watch filthy movies or rock type of music, start movies, you have to make a stand and say, if God is sitting in the same room, will you watch that too? If the Lord Jesus was sitting right there, would you watch that too? Would you watch that kind of movies? You know what kind of philosophy is pouring out the filthy movies today? You cannot convince me that Hollywood is good. Oh yeah, Brother Johnny, you need to. If it's 95% trash, why are we supporting it? Think about that. And that's why the family is so weak. Because maybe fathers are weak. Oh, may I strengthen fathers today. But you know, Brother Johnny, my husband doesn't do it. Then mothers make a stand. Don't dishonor your husband because that's sin. But make a stand where you have to. Where you have to. Plead before God with tears in your eyes. And God, please help him to be strong. Now, looking at this, why did Eve disobey? Why did Eve eat of the fruit? Alright, looking at verse number 6, notice a few things. Number one, Eve saw that it was good for food. The flesh. It appealed to the flesh. Okay, boy. Gee, the music not bad, huh? Not bad, man. Okay. If your 3-year-old is doing this, God help you. You are stirring up the flesh from a young age, feeding it from a young age. She will be like an Eve or Adam next time. Okay? It was pleasant to the eyes. Not too bad, you know? Desire to be make one wise. If I know this, I'll tell you, my friend will be one up. I will one out on them. But if I know this, pride. These are the inroads into the family. When we bring things into the family, some of you may know my. For me, I'm very particular about what comes into my family. And some of the things that's happened, I just got to make a clear stand about that, because if the Lord Jesus Christ were to come into my family, and if that's on or that's happening, we need to make a stand. I'm going to say this. What kind of computer games are you allowing your children to play? Does it have demonic images? It has to go out. It encourages rebellion. And maybe that's why it's not closed. Think about that for a while. Because I'm letting you know that outside... You see, if you're not going to do something, the devil is. The devil doesn't rest on you, know? Do you realize that? Because he knows his time is short. The devil doesn't rest, okay? Now, consider largely the influences on your own family. What are the things that are coming into your house that you are allowing? That actually in your heart you know that actually, but over time, because your children keep coming in and the music keep coming in and the movies keep coming in and the things keep coming in, you guys, wow, very tired. Every time I have to stop them, okay? Sometimes you go through that thing, well, every time I'm going to stop them, then forget it. No, the devil doesn't relent. The devil is not going to stop until he destroys your family. Consider what is coming into your family. Consider the corruption put constantly on you through the different medium, like music and the things you hear, books you read. Parents, you need to also look at what the books that your children are reading too. Are they reading adult books, romance, things that will stimulate thinking before they are ready for it? Okay, you need to be very careful. Consider the challenge to the right and wrong. Have it ever occurred to you, or children, have you ever challenged your parents and said, why can't I do that? And when you do that at home, you do that in church. And next time you do that outside. I'm not saying you don't think, you know. I'm saying if you're challenging the right and the wrong, that was exactly what the devil did. He challenged the right and the wrong. Okay? And we need to consider why we disobey. You know why children disobey? Children, are you listening? You know why you disobey? Because of your flesh. I don't want it now. I want to eat now. I don't want to wait for you. You're so slow. And after you take 1 hour to eat. The flesh. Okay? Mama, I want that one very nice. I want. It doesn't matter if it costs $2,000. I want. Huh? I want that dress. It makes me look nice. Why you don't buy for me one? Pride. pride of life. It all happens. But can I say these are the subtle things when we appeal to the flesh? It will slowly degrade the family. Okay, we need to move on. Consider this. Okay, what do you think is the main ingredient in this? All this. The main question is, I want us to remember, we're only learning one point today. I'm drawing the whole picture to aim at one point. What was broken and everything else crumbled with that one thing that was broken? What was one thing in Genesis 2 and Genesis 3 that was broken and everything else fell? The family, the relationship between Adam and Eve, everything crumbled. Spiritual life crumbled. Everything crumbled. What was one thing? What was one thing? Tell me. What was one thing? Huh? Disobedience. Okay, well, let's... And what did the devil attack? Okay? He just asked one question. Yea, hath God said. Yea, hath God said. Yea, hath God said. That was... The devil is unlike us as Christians. We always fight what's outside. The devil goes for the main thing that will break down everything. And I'm afraid some families here will not last 5 years to be strong spiritually, because you are allowing the influences to come in and you're trying to say, I'm not supposed to do this, but the devil is just attacking straight at the foundation. So I want to, hopefully by God's grace, turn that around. We need to know what he's attacking, and so we can build that particular thing and fortify it against him, so that we will resist the devil, submit to God, and he will flee from us, and we will have strong families. That is my heart today, but we need to identify what is the thing, okay? So why did the devil do that? Look at these few verses. What was God's heart? You find that in the entire Old Testament, God oftentimes tells the children of Israel two things, okay? O Israel, now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments, which I teach you to do them, that ye may live, and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto you, had the Lord brought you out of with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of the bondage. Okay, for this verse, God has just made it clear, I am bringing you in, I'm going to tell you statutes, you're supposed to obey it. Okay, the next one, that ye may prolong your days in the land which the Lord God sware unto your fathers to give unto them. So God is promising the fathers to give them the land, the promise, alright? Let's move on. Jesus in the New Testament, in Matthew 7:24, this, when I was thinking on, Lord, what is the main thing? The Lord gave me this verse, and I think we all know this. But it's interesting that God actually used the illustration of wise men building his house. Now, and it was the very same thing the devil attacked in Genesis chapter 3. Yea, hath God said. Yea, hath God said. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Now, based on all these verses, what is the main thing? What's the main ingredient, do you think, that God wants us to take note of? This verse may help you. Hebrews 4:12, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now, I want to make this very, very clear. In the study of the Bible, the first family crumbled because they disobeyed God's word. Okay? They disobeyed God's word. Why did the devil attack the word of God to cause Adam and Eve? Two things. To create doubt and then to disobey. To create doubt and then to disobey. You will find youth, teens, children, everything that you ever do when you fight against what God says, it always will lead you to these two things. Doubt and then disobedience, okay? The devil attacked it because it was to cause Adam and Eve firstly to doubt God's word. Yea, hath God said? Are you sure that was what you're supposed to do? How many times when someone comes and says, hey, I think we're supposed to do this now. You know what the people say? Aiyah, never mind lah, later lah. Huh? And then when you don't put, no, you have to do it. What's so serious? doubt. These are the modern day way of causing the doubt. And you know what? It actually leads to disobedience. In that case, then, never mind, we wait. If that's the case, it's okay. How much times you cause disobedience. So based on what we're talking about now, the one ingredient, what is the one ingredient that caused the disruption to the entire family, listen, that introduced conflict into the family, that introduced blame into the family, and introduced selfishness into the family? What leads to disobedience? Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 3. I'm going to show you a sequence of events that happens in everyone and every family that will actually happen, that happens in the family that leads them, alright, to this thing called a breakdown of the family. And then after, we'll find out from God's word, what do we have to do? Okay, Hebrews chapter 3. I don't know how many times I've preached this, and how many many years ago I was dealing with one person. The person decided that he or she was going to walk away from God. And it was disheartening because I was trying to help this person to grow. But then after that, I began to ask God. I know God settled in my heart one thing. When someone walks away from God, after you've tried to help them grow, it's no longer your fault. But I wanted to find out from God, God, why did they walk away from you in the first place? God, why is it so hard? And then God pointed me to this verse, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. I'm going to just read through and I'm going to show you some things. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost says, verse 7, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, what is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. There are five things I want you to take note of why we disobey. Number one, you harden your heart. The Bible says that when you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. The word harden means to render stubborn. It comes from the Greek word stiff, st. It comes from the Greek word that means stiff. The word harden means to render stubborn. Okay? The word stiff has the idea of denoting firm. In other words, whatever you say, I am not interested, I am not going to consider, I have my own ways of thinking, I am hardening my heart. How many times I've met with Christians that when I presented God's word, you know what they tell me? There was one time a pastor tell me, as I was showing God, he said, Johnny, don't use scripture. And I was thinking, then what am I supposed to use? And I say, there's no other counsel except from the word of God. But you know why people don't want to hear God's word anymore? Because they are hardening their hearts. Is it possible that God's people over the years I've heard this before. I have my own ways of thinking now. I harden my heart. Number two, the outcome of the hardening of heart, if you look at Hebrews chapter 3, God says, they begin to tempt God. You look in verse number 9, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. In other words, when I hardened my heart, I will begin to challenge what is the standard. I'm not saying that as Christians we obey blindly. But I'm saying that when you know that it is right, what are you doing about it? Have you rendered stiff your heart? You know, I've not gone into the specific things that as Christians we shouldn't be hardening our hearts about. But you know what? We begin to want to say, God, you prove yourself. Okay? Number two. Firstly, they harden their hearts. In other words, they begin to have their own thinking. And I'm just going to be stubborn the way I think. I'm going to change my life. The number two thing, the Bible says, in verse 10, wherefore I was grieved with the generation, they do always err in their hearts. The word err there means to roam, who literally go astray from the truth. Error has either error, you know, error. When you key in something, the computer says error message, right? Why? Because what you're supposed to key in is not what you key in, and so they will give you an error message, right? Because you didn't key in what is supposed to be keyed in. They do err in their way. What do they err in? The Bible says in verse 10, they err inside here. In other words, their heart, firstly stubborn, because they're stubborn, they are beginning to go a different direction from what God has wanting them to go. That's what the Word of God tells us. Okay? They begin to be deceived, they wander out of the way. And then, number three, the third thing, after they wander out of the way, in verse number 10, they have not known my ways. The word know there is interesting. Let me ask you a question. Did the children of Israel know how powerful God was? Yeah? They saw the mighty miracles, right? Did the children of God know how much God cared for them? Yeah? In the wilderness, God gave them water, God gave them food, God gave them raiment, God protected them from enemies. Do you know, I think I shared it with you before, do you know why God gave the pillar of cloud? To give them a shade in the hot desert sun. What a blessing. I'm not too sure whether God makes sure the cloud is just, and the sun is always at one direction, you know. And maybe the pillar of cloud moved to shield the sun, I'm not too sure. But you know what? God protected. But the Bible says, even though they saw my works, the Bible says they have not known my ways. The word know there means understand. They don't understand my ways. They have no idea how good I am. Number four, then there's an evil heart of unbelief. The word unbelief simply means a lack of Christian faith. Or it can also mean disobedience. It's interesting because unbelief leads to disobedience. On Sunday, I'll touch on that again. But I'm going to hit, by God's grace, based on this verse, the foundation of the family. Satan attacks it every single day of your life. Every single day. Okay? I want to hit it later on. I want to finish this first. And then the outcome, the Bible says in verse 13 in verse 12, take heed therefore, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. You begin to lose faith. You begin to disobey. And then what do? The Bible says you depart from the living God. The word depart from the living God literally means to withdraw yourself from God. How many people, because of certain things they stood for last time, and because of something, they withdraw themselves from the service of the King of Kings. They begin to walk away from what they knew it was right. They begin to not want any part of that anymore. They begin to stop reading their Bibles and begin to give excuses for not doing those things they know they're supposed to do. Why? Because there is an evil heart of unbelief. Christians, are you listening? We are in this state of whereby where we allow that unbelief to settle in. We begin to disobey God. We begin to don't like people to tell us what to do. And that's where the devil is getting you, and you being influenced by your friends and the things of this world, and then you begin to lose faith. And then you know what you do? You begin to walk away from God. That's why some of us are not serving God now. Because our heart has been stiffened against the faith that God says, receive with meekness the engrafted word. The evil heart of unbelief. So what was the outcome? Sorry. There was a hardening of the hearts, the erring of the way. Outcome is departure from the living God. Why? Because of the deceitfulness of sin. The only reason why we don't serve God, Christians, is because we don't believe Him anymore. What's the outcome of Adam and Eve's? What was the outcome of Adam and Eve's situation, Genesis chapter 3? They blame God, right? What did Adam say? God, the woman you gave to me, she gave the fruit to me and I did eat. And what did they do? They start blaming one another. Can I say this? I've learned a long time ago, as much as I tried very hard, not to attribute blame. I don't care even if that person has done wrong. Because I know when I attribute blame, I fall straight into Adam and Eve's trap. When I complain and point my fingers at someone else, actually, I'm at fault. I know it. And can I say this is happening in families? I need to be gentle because there are families, there are some Christians who are really trying their best to do right. Can I encourage you, if you are just doing right as much as you can, and your whoever is not doing the right thing, don't look at them, look at God, and keep doing what is right. Amen? Because God understands and God will support you. And then what happened in Genesis chapter 3? They refused to take responsibility. Adam says Eve. Eve says serpent. Serpent says no one. So no choice. God had to judge him already. And guess what? They're separated from God. And guess what? They're separate from one another. At least for that conflict. They're separate from another. Is it any wonder many families are like that? And dear friends, and am I showing you something that you already know? Perhaps maybe I'm putting it in a way that you understand. But perhaps that's one reason why many families today, not just yours, but many families around the world, even your own, around the extended families, are experiencing all this. Why? Because they don't believe. They don't believe. You know what the sad thing is? It's a series for Christians. The reason why Christians have problems in their families is because Christians don't believe God. Christians simply don't believe God. So what's the founder? What is the foundation for the family? I'm getting to it now. If Adam and Eve did not take the fruit, although tempted by the evil one, would their family still be intact? Would it still be intact? Yes. So what is the foundation for the family? I've already written that for you because I didn't want you to can't. It's obedience to God's word based on faith. Not just obedience to God's word, because many people obey God, but they don't believe what God says. Obedience based on faith. Obedience based on faith. Okay? Any questions up to there? Any questions? Obedience means whatever God says, I believe it and I will practice it. And even if it goes against what I think, I'll do it. Okay? Now let me ask you a question. It's interesting. God put the fruit in the tree of the Garden of Eden. A fruit is a fruit, right? A fruit is a fruit. Listen to this argument very carefully. A fruit is a fruit. Television is television. They're all neutral. Music is mute. But music is not neutral, sorry. Music is not neutral. The musical notes are neutral. You understand? When you put the notes together, it forms a direction. Do you get it? And the direction is what the author takes it. Okay? So a fruit is a fruit. But God says, let's pretend it's a black apple, okay? Last time they had black apples, I don't know. And God says, Jeremiah, this is Jeremiah's son. Of all the fruits you can take, only this one you cannot take. Okay? Can this be eaten? Let's say it's an apple, can it be eaten? Yeah, obviously you can. But what makes this special? God put His word on it. That makes it special. Does that make sense? God put His word on it, therefore it is set apart for God. And therefore, if God says your family is to be set apart from God, God is putting His presence in there, but when we chase Him out, when we allow the influences to come in, it corrupts the family. You know what God does? Just the same at the end of Genesis chapter 3, what does God do? God has to separate. Maybe that's why some blessings are not flowing through your family. Just this week, we've got the blessing of that For those who came later, we are going to get 24 Bibles for $8.60. Amen? 8 full Bibles. 24 full Bibles, sorry. 24 Bibles for $8.60. Because we finished our whole lot of 100 Bibles. And now we're going to get 24 of them for $8. Sing. Free shipping some more. From Book Depository. Thank you. Okay? It's obedience based on the Word of God. And so, Adam and Eve, because God has sanctified it by His Word, you know what's our response? What God has put together, let no man put asunder. The same principle applies. When God said something, that's His Word. It is the decree of God. It is not to be tampered with. Okay? Now, let's move on. Proverbs 24. I'll just go quickly. 24. Let's turn to Proverbs 24, right? We're going to finish soon. This is the last part. So, how, Brother Johnny, should we build that faith in our family that will be a strong foundation? Proverbs 24 and verse 30. Proverbs 24 and verse 30. Let me just read that. The Bible says, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all overgrown with thorns and thistles and nettles and covered the face thereof. The stone wall thereof was broken down. So Solomon says that he was walking by a field and then he saw that it was overgrown with all the thorns. And I was basically, I think in the Philippines, in some of the agricultural countries, if you leave a plot of land, you don't touch it for a while after a lot of thorns and a lot of those weeds will grow on it. And then in verse 31, and lo, it was all overgrown with thorns and nettles and covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. And then Solomon said, then I saw that and considered it well. In other words, when I look at that, I realized one thing. That was what Solomon says. Yet a little slumber, a little sleep, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come to one that travaileth, and thy want is an armed man. Now, Brother Johnny, what's the relevance of this? Solomon taught us to build a family. I'm just applying it to the family. To build a family requires work. Fathers, are you listening? I know you're tired after work. But you know what? I didn't have a chance to rest last night, yesterday. Came back from work, I had to do something else. Because I serve God. I work too. And I believe God wants me to work. To show you that work is not an excuse not to serve God. No matter how tired you are. I say with all the love in my heart. Because if you surrender with God, you will find one thing. There is joy in serving Jesus. Those who came on, I just thank God for the people that have come on in Yishun. I say that personally as a pastor. Hopefully through that I can encourage you. You may feel bad, but if God makes you feel bad, then just feel bad and do something about it. But you know what? Isn't it time to serve God? Because on Wednesday I saw children coming along. Parents, when your children see you serve God, I can guarantee you they want to serve God too. I have positive example for you today. Souls dying, going to hell. Thank God we were able to cover 2 blocks. I was just overwhelmed. And just thank God for those people who come out. We may not win them, but you know, Spurgeon said this, and I like that. When we don't have results, it is not failure. Failure is when we fail to obey God in the first place. Oh, thank God for the encouragement. Can I challenge us? Can I encourage you? It takes work. It means that when it's time to serve God, we serve God. When it's time to put our hands to the plow, put our hands to the plow. It requires work. It means that when we come back, the television stays off and say, children, come, let's read the Bible. If you're a whole day, you haven't chance to read the Bible with your family. The television gets, Facebook gets shut down. Really. We spend more time on Facebook. Singapore is the number one in the usage of Facebook in the world. Without doubt, all of us have, most of us have a Facebook account. and we spend lots of time on it. If you just translate that to sometimes to building your family, God can do something. What do we have to do? What must a family do to ensure that it has this proper foundation of faith? I'm telling you, Satan is going to make you doubt God's word. He's going to challenge, make you challenge at every point the obedience to God's word. And he's going to make you disobey God's word. And so that on a regular basis, you will do it. You will do it when it's time to come to church, when it's time to read your Bible, when it's time to go tracting, when it's time to win someone to Christ, when it's time to do something for God, and you, when it's time to give, when it's time to do things for the Lord, you shrink back. And every time you do that, do you realize God says, I've given you opportunities to serve, the talents to serve, and you withdraw? God says, okay, I'm going to take your talent and give it to someone else. And thank God, God is doing that. I've seen God remove pastors. I've seen that. Oh, God forbid that God will remove me from service until He's through with me. But God can remove us. He will. He will. I can cite you examples, personal examples of how God removed pastors and killed their relatives because he refused to change. Oh, that God would help us. What must a family do to ensure that he has a proper foundation of faith? Number one, the family must believe the Bible is God's truth and obey wholeheartedly. In other words, I will not question what my dad teach me about the Bible, and I will obey it like as if my life depended on it. If I've got to do it, no matter how tired I am, we spend hours doing our assignments and we don't even spend a minute reading God's word. Shame on us. Maybe that's why we're not so strong in, and we come to churches. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. The Bible says, I think we all know the verse, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate day and day and night. Thou mayest observe to do all that are written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosper, and then thou shalt have good success. You realize one thing? At the end of Joshua's life, what did he say? For me and my house, we still serve God. You know what? You know my guess? He probably obeyed God all the way. He was obeying God when he was serving under Moses. And when he took over, he obeyed God. In this, he went in, he trusted God, he prayed. At the end of his life, he said, you guys better learn to obey God. And I don't care what you do, but as for me and my house, we'll serve God. That's what Joshua said. Fathers, you need to have that resolve in your life. I don't care if I have no more money, I'll still serve God. I don't care if I serve God with no money, I'll still serve God. I'll put God first. I'll put God first. Okay? The whole family must believe. Fathers, do you believe? Mothers, do you believe God's word wholeheartedly and obey? And when God says to submit to your husband, you do that with all of your heart and support wholeheartedly. Children, when daddy says no, you say, yes, dad, I'll put it down because you said so. Daughters, are you saying, if mom say, hey, it's time to read your Bible, say, oh, I'm so lazy. So, no, say, mom, if you say, because I'm supposed to honor you, and I know I'm supposed to read my Bible anyway. The whole family must believe. God's word must be number one. By the way, it's not the Bible that is the foundation of your family. Listen to me. It is the belief in the Bible's words. That's a big difference. Because many of us have many Bibles at home, but it doesn't make us any more Christ-like. It is not the Bible that's the word of God, but faith and belief that if God says this, then I follow it, I will be blessed. Does it make sense? It's the faith in the Bible. And that's what the devil consistently destroys every day of our lives. That's why the decisions we make many times are not based on faith. Because for those who have selected your choice of school, do you go to the Bible to choose? Bro, Johnny, Exodus never say Tampines Junior College. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, what are the Bible principles you use? Is it what God wants for you, or is it what I want to do? Or is it what's convenient? We need to go to the Bible. But you know what? As whole family, the whole family must believe this. It's not just the dad, just the mom, but the sons, the daughters, and even the younger ones need to see. I don't know about you, but it's a joy for me when I hear Esther Joy, when she is not doing anything, says, I'm richer than the king, wealthier than the star. And you sing, King of my life. And the song she sings, I crown thee now. Then I shout, are you sure? Then she'll smile. What a blessing to hear my son or your children. And I say this, by God's grace, God can remove us anytime. But the chief shepherd tells me, be an example to the flock. In 1 Peter 5. And I'm just saying I'm trying to do that. And I'm praying you will follow Christ even as I do that. I share with the men the broken heart I have for some of the things that are happening. But you know what? I hope to God that at least I can tell God, I've told the families in Ambassador that this is your will. Number one, the entire family must believe. Number two, fathers, there must be a daily presentation of God's truth in the family. Not a weekly altar, a daily altar. Okay, let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. God is very clear. Every day, you must have a time in God's Word. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, all thy soul, all thy might. And these words which I command this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. What does it diligently mean? And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Sounds like a daily event to me. When you're waking up, when you're sleeping, when you're walking to the provision shop, when you're going to NTUC, you're supposed to talk to them of the Word of God. There must be a daily presentation of God's Word. Can I say this? Children, when your parents ask, let's read the Bible, don't say, I have homework. Homework can wait. I'm sorry. Homework can wait. Okay? You can always give. But when your daddy says, let's come together to read God's Word, of course we must be reasonable. But when it's time to read God's Word, then you know what? You need to come and stop everything you're doing. Come, and daddy teach God's Word. You obey, then go back to your work. You know? What you mean? I've got to follow this. Fathers, it's up to your leadership in the home. You're the pastor of your house, like it or not. You are the pastor of your house. God holds you responsible for that. You're supposed to teach. But you know what? The Bible says there must be a daily presentation of God's Word in your family, because how is the family going to believe if the father doesn't teach? It's not a weekly one. It's not as and when you have time. It must be every day. For my family, it's every time after breakfast or sit down. If I forget, my children forget. I always tell them that I do forget sometimes, but you know what they say? Are we having family devotion? They say, yes, we are. And we'll go. We just finished the book of Hebrews. We need to have a daily presentation of God's Word. And usually we end up about an hour or so, because we talk about spiritual things and other things as well. Alright? Number three, there must be a daily mixing of faith what we read. Many of us read the Bible. Do you believe what you read? When God says to love not the things of this world, perhaps, are you just saying, oh, God says, are you saying, God, if you said that, let me see what I have on my iPhone that is of the world. Oh God, I know that games is a bit devilish. I think I need to get rid of that. It smells of the world. God, is there anything that I have in my... I thank God, I know of people, once they got saved, got baptized, they remove all their rock songs. And for one, last time we had cassettes. I remember when I got baptized, I threw away 50 of them. I wanted to sell them to someone else. Can't get money, ma. But then I realized, what's not good for me, it's not good for anyone else. Goes into the trash. We must believe what we read. You know the sad thing today? Many people don't believe God's Word anymore. Number four. Okay. Number four here. There must be a consistent practice of God's truth in your family. Oh, this is so important. Children detect hypocrisy in parents very fast. And by the way, children, parents detect that too in children. But you know what? How many times I have to say sorry to my children because I've acted inconsistently with God's Word. That I've lost my temper. That was wrong. And I have to apologize. Because I'm not perfect. But you know what? Parents, people in the family, we must act consistent with God's Word as much as we can. I know it's not easy sometimes. That's why within the church, we encourage one another. Okay? There must be constant reference to the Word of God when making decisions. All right? Whatever you think may not be important, but whatever God says, that's important, okay? Number six, I'll just go through quickly. You can go through some of that. The family must serve the Lord together in the local church. I'm going to touch on this in detail because it's very important, okay? Not now, but in previous, because there's one part whereby the family and service, okay? Then in Acts 16:15, notice this. And when she was baptized and her what? And her what? Household. This is Lydia. Okay? She besought saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. Okay? Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them that are be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. First Corinthians, and I baptize also the household of Stephanus. Household of Stephanus. We need to learn to serve God together as a family. When I was teenagers, when daddy says, let's serve God, you will say, yes, we'll follow you. I know sometimes it may mean you to readjust your schedule, but if daddy says go this way, don't you dare go in a different way. Okay? Because God says, Joshua says, father takes the lead. As for me and my house, we'll serve God. Rajani, that means you need to make a choice. Because it's something which is so important in the Bible. God is teaching that to us. Okay? We must serve God as a family. If you do not come from a Christian family, do it anyway. And may God's light shine through you, that you will be consistent with God's word. You will have a daily time where you plead before God, save my mom, God save my dad, God save my sister, God save my brother, God save my neighbors. And through that, your light will come out. As we close, any questions? I know it's a bit anticlimactic, but I'll just say this before you close. My desire is for everyone, in ambassador and their families and their husbands and their fathers, to have children who grow up to love God. We live in a world today that people don't care much about God anymore. Over the weeks and months we're going to be touching on, we're going to have times whereby I will give surveys so that we can have a self-reflection of how we have been going on in the Lord. We cannot remain stagnant. As a family, we must grow. It's not just for the growing of the church. And I believe with all my heart, God was sharing with me at the end of last year, He said, don't just concentrate on it, strengthen the people from within. But you know what? And I realized, how, Lord, do I cater to them? I said, God, no, teach them the word. That they might hear. Let's turn to Psalm 78 as we close. Psalm 78 as we close, and then after we'll pray. Okay? Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Let's read. I'll read verse 1. You read verse 2. Until we finish at verse 7. Okay? I'll read verse 1, you read verse 2. Then we all read verse 7 together as we close. Psalm 78 verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline my ears to the words of my mouth. Verse 2. Verse 3. Where we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. Verse 4. Verse 5, for he had established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. Verse 6.
That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children.
Verse 7, as the last, let's read together, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Fathers, take charge of your family. The foundation for your family is faith in the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Do everything you can to nourish them. Have all your programs targeted at them. Have your educational direction targeted at them. Have everything that you ever do for your family, have this idea, is it going to build the faith of my family? Because if it is, you have a strong family. But if you do anything else against that, that pushes in a different direction, I can assure you, I didn't read verse 8. You know why? Because it shows that they may not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. Or that God will give us a generation that will grow up to love Him in the faith. And I can tell you, God promised, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. You think you have success in your school, you think you have success in your work, those success will be temporary, but if you are basing in God's word, your success will be permanent. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, I know I've gone a little further, but Lord, you know my heart. And Father, I pray that Ambassador Baptist Church will grow strong. The many things, Lord, else that is going to come out over the next few weeks, I pray, Father, we will come with a heart of reception, a heart that welcomes the Word of God. Father, I pray. I pray for every family. Oh God, there's a destruction of faith in all the families, a disobedience to God's word. When God says to do right, Lord, sometimes we choose not to. When thy word teaches the father to love the wife, and sometimes they don't do that, or the wife to submit to the husbands, and they don't do that, and there's a resistance to that. When thy word teaches the children to obey parents, and the children resist, and then on the other hand, the fathers discourage the children by our bad attitudes. Sometimes, Lord, forgive us, Father, that we have been disobedient. That God, we, in times when we should, we lost faith, and as a result, disobeyed you. God, the times that we are supposed to be out there doing what you want us to do, we just give reasons why we shouldn't be doing that. Oh God, forgive us. Lord, strengthen every family, please. Because every family belongs to you. And God, I ask you to do a mighty work in our life. Eyes closed, heads bowed. I just ask one question. How many of you would say, Pastor, pray for me, that God will help me build a faith in my family? Is there anyone? Amen. I see your hand. Is there anyone else? Amen. I see that hand too. I see the fathers putting out that hand. Even mothers. Anyone else? Amen. I see that hand too. Amen. I see that hand. Help me build my faith. And you know what? Children, you can build faith in your family too by being an example. Just doing what is right. And then gently encouraging. Amen. I see that hand. Many children putting up their hands too. Putting down. Just be an obedient child. And just following the ways of the Lord. Willingly. When I say all this, it's not to put a guilt trip. I think you know that. Oh, that. Anyone else? Young people, are you going to... May God help you to realize the most important thing in your life is not your career, it's your faith in Christ. Because your career can stumble, but you know your faith will take you through any trouble in life. You know, when no one is there with you, Christ will be there. So don't give Him up. Is there anyone else? Amen. I see that hand too. Oh, children, when you put up your hand, pray in your heart, God, help me to be an obedient child. And ask, God, help me not to disobey my mom and my dad anymore. Lord, if you have changed my life, help me to show that. Is there anyone else? Amen. I see that hand. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for every father who has put up their hand. God, it's our desire to build a people that will honor you. Lord, I'm just preaching from my heart, and you know that. God, if there are certain things I've said that have offended people, I pray, God, you would minimize that. And Lord, not let any of this affect, Lord, the message that you have for everyone. But I pray for every father. God, I pray for every father, as a head, I pray that you help them to lead as you lead them. Help them to lead the family as Joshua led the children of Israel with courage and faith, with boldness, with humility, with love. And God, I pray for every mom to support the husband as they see the will of God and the work of God being done in the husband's life. I pray also for every child, every daughter that put up their hands. Oh God, make them, Lord, a flower in that family that will produce fragrance, that will encourage the heart of every member. They will grow in obedience to your precious word. And also, Father, for every son that has put up their hands, may they be strong and courageous like their dads as they serve God. Oh Lord, help us as a church to grow in the right way. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. Thank you. I know many have taken time out. I pray that your Holy Spirit will just bless everyone at this time. And for those that put up their hand, I pray, Lord, that you will continuous learning, Lord, over these next 3 months, that they will grow in their faith. Because, Father, the devil attacks our faith on a regular basis. And God, by your grace, we will counterattack by saying we will build faith in Christ. And we will not allow this disobedience to go on anymore. And we will obey you, Father, at every point with all of our hearts. Teach us to submit ourselves to God and then to resist the devil. And Lord, we know he will flee from us because you promise. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.